grass, ganja, joint, doobie, doo, chronic, ace, lobo, loco, loveboat, bud, Buddha, blunt, pot, pat, pin, chiba, chiba, 420, and hashish, or hash for short. It's all marijuana.
This is Marijuana Media.
Come in.
Brought to you by The Hemp Store at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.
Do it, man. Chris Fowley.
Hello.
Good afternoon to everyone.
I rode my bike past you this morning.
You did.
Up on K Road.
That was cool.
Why were you going the scenic route, first of all?
Thought I'd just go say hi to my friends at the hemp store and go and say hi to Colleen there, get my hair cut, and wave to Chris and take a photo of him outside the shop, which you can see on social media.
You can.
Actually, would have been a lot more efficient if we both got a haircut at the same time.
John,
probably should have considered that. Help our friend Adele out, you know? Shout out, Adele. Shout out. Is it Colleen?
Colleen.
Don't we have a voucher or something for Colleen?
We do. It's part of some sort of super prize pack.
We have one for in store as well.
A $250 voucher to spend at Colleen, and Chris Fowley's got a voucher for us as well for
yes,
the hemp store.
It's K Road.
Do it. You've committed me to it on air.
K Road, eh?
Now, back out
Chris,
do it.
What's happening in the hemp store?
Well, actually, I was speaking of K Road, I was saying hello to our new Māori Warden for K Road, Marina, and great to welcome her to K Road there. And a very good addition to the crew, to the team. And what has been happening?
K Road's a spicy little taco, isn't it?
It's what we love about it.
It's like, whoa, man, this is crazy up here.
Is K Road seasonal in its spiciness, would you say? Very abstract sentence, that, but what do you reckon?
It's undergone some changes through the COVID, like everyone has, I guess. It's been some tough times for a lot of people, and that's certainly evident around some of the street life of K Road and some of the things that the stressed and, you know, stressed and distressed states that some people are in.
Right. This is where the wardens come in, no doubt.
Yes, exactly. And this is also perhaps where not only cannabis clubs or cannabis non-profit, buyers clubs that could provide to people instead of, having ready access to alcohol and synthetics and
are synthetics still around, still available?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we see it every day on K Road.
So they're coming into the country, you reckon? Like fresh stock
no
or is
idea.
It old stock?
I have no idea, but it's out there.
Yeah,
it's kind of one of those things. You think, well, they're out there, the meth and the synthetics and the ready access to alcohol. I mean, there's just dozens and dozens of liquor outlets on K Road and that. And then wouldn't it be great if there were a few cannabis outlets to provide an alternative choice to people? And maybe that would be a net gain if there was better access to legal cannabis. But in particular, CBD. And so is my little segue to Sam Neill. CBD, well known for its anti-anxiety properties, or certainly what a lot of patients are using it for and what they claim. And COVID, as we all know, whether you're not having a distressed time yourself, then maybe you probably know someone who is. And certainly ready access to CBD, would be a great thing. It is technically legal now and able to be prescribed. You can go to your doctor and get it. There aren't a great deal of products. They haven't come down in price yet. There haven't been any new ones appear, but that could happen. But there's certainly people working on it. But Sam Neill,
that the first thing he did when he returned to New Zealand was contact his doctor to get his hands on CBD oil. He did kind of come out before the referendum as well, shout out to him.
First thing. That was before ordering pizza, before anything. First thing.
I'm going to need my CBD in the CBD. Man.
Love it. Love it.
What a great guy.
We need more of that. And there is a lot of a lot of people using CBD through perhaps legit or illegit kind of means.
Yes.
It's certainly tough to get it legitimately.
What's the science behind CBD being able to reduce anxiety, Chris? Like, why does it help with anxiety?
Well, it seems to do a few different pathways, but one of the general things about CBD is it returns people back to their kind of baseline, to their what they call homeostasis, their kind of natural level. And anxiety and like a lot of conditions, things are out of whack in some way, and whether it's inflammation or things going too hard or not turning off and these sorts of things. And CBD just seems to reset things.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that.
Does it play with the receptor in the body, the big old cannabinoid receptor in there?
Yes, it It seems
the largest receptor in the body.
So the CB1, the psychoactive one, it seems to affect the way that other cannabinoids are interacting with that, including your body's own natural ones that are, right. You know, one of the top neurotransmitters in the body, you know, so it seems to affect the way that those are interacting. And then in terms of the CB2 receptor, which is the non-psychoactive one that's all around the body that you don't
right.
feel,
yeah.
Obviously that's the main way that people are usually using it for, to interact in that one. And that's kind of where it interacts with your organs around the body.
Man.
Mm.
So fuzzy. If only it was legal so we could research it further.
Well, exactly, and very easy, in fact, very easy. And in fact, Argentina, just this week, or it might have been last week, it was around the time of the last show, perhaps, or the day after something. So Argentina just put in a thing, so and this is their legislature, so it just shows, you know, what parliaments can do from you know, if they want to. So they're allowing patients to grow their own, you know, like it's some sort of, like, crazy idea, you know. So
sounds like freedom to me.
What a great thing that is. Yeah, exactly.
More freedom, less government.
Yeah, don't. We got you. Don't text that in. We got it.
And to bring the price down in that for products, or certainly the price down that patients pay, they're putting a thing in saying that medical insurers will have to pay for the products. So in our case, that would be the same as saying to PharmAct, you have to pay for it.
Whoa.
So, you know, and again, this is just their legislature just going, this is what we're just going to do.
Oh, the
so
government just was
didn't
like
need a referendum, you know, just doing it.
Whoa, it's embarrassing.
What is, I mean, the referendum has indicated it was a very, very exceptionally close result.
The best headline I read, John, was the referendum was an IQ test and New Zealand failed.
Ooh, that's harsh.
It's kind of true, though. Like, you look into it and you come out the other end going, the stats are all there, you know, like, but not a lot of people, I don't think, looked into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think most people are pretty, you know, clever. We don't want to be, you know, too cynical about it, but it's that, you know, fundamentally, I think it comes, well, a lot of it comes down to that it was a very much a question about that particular bill. In terms of whether, whatever you thought about cannabis or whatever it was saying, do you support this bill? And, you know, my gut feeling is there was a good 5 or 10% that just, they were into it, but not into that bill.
You think they read the whole bill?
No, just what they've heard.
Yeah, exactly. Just, you know.
A few
that's
weeks
the problem,
on,
isn't it?
Chris, a few
well,
weeks
that's,
on.
That's, then don't frame the question that way.
Yeah, a few weeks a on, question. Are there any murmurs of any sort of change in the pipeline? Anything in the
well,
works?
Yes, so those things that we've talked about the last couple of weeks, those are definitely all still happening. It's whether they can happen in the 2 weeks. So Parliament just opened today, right? And I know that there's a crew, you know, shout out to Dr. Green and Gary and the other crew that are down there in Wellington at the opening of Parliament, reminding them that cannabis is still here and cannabis consumers are still here. And so it's only open for 2 weeks, though. So, you know, whether we can get anything snuck in on the agenda in that time, you know, it's going to take a bit of effort or certainly a bit of, you know, convincing, but it's possible. But whether it happens before, you know, Christmas or you know, next year when they come back. So those kind of two main things were revisiting the decrim, right? The thing that they did with the police, telling them to have discretion and take that discretion away, to say no, don't you don't have your discretion, you're not capable of it. So no arresting. And then the other thing was the taking away the offence of allowing the premise to be used, so that we can have pill testing. And that really has the best chance, because getting that through in time for summer with all the festivals and things, you know, that has a lot of
safety first, everyone. Safety first. Allow pill testing at a festival. I just don't understand why you wouldn't do that. You want everyone to be safe, right?
Exactly.
Live their
exactly.
best life, yep. Not, you know, take stuff which is going to be harmful.
Yeah, exactly. And we like at the hemp store, we have the little reagent kits, and in fact, we supply them to know your stuff, and so they can use them in festivals and things, and then they have the proper lab test one, which is really what you really need. Mm. But with the reagents, it's better than nothing, and certainly with more than one reagent, you can kind of zero in based on those colour changes. But err on the side of caution and start low, go slow, you know, this sort of thing. Be careful. Most people are.
Mm. Somebody's asking for a petition. Is there one going around?
There are a few. There's about 5 or 6. Parliament.
That doesn't seem like a good idea.
The Change has a couple going on there, of course. But even on the Parliament website, I saw at least 1 or 2. on there. But yeah, those two things that I was saying before, those are quite quick. I think probably the pill testing slash premise one, that's got the best chance of happening soon. The decrim thing will have a bit of urgency, but we can't let it get kind of bogged down in like another kind of review, you know. It's just got to be done. The medical one probably will get bogged down in a bit of a review, and that might take all of next year, but you know, I think opening up the medical scheme, a bit like Argentina, where you let patients grow their own and you also compel Pharmac or the insurers, or you do something to sort out that funding. You know, I could see that being really on the cards. And then a little bit further on, I really wanted to mention this, because this came up Dominion Post this week, and it's on Stuff, and it's talking about regionalism. And I think this has really got some legs, and this could be where further down the track, perhaps the next election, or it might even be the one after that, you know, who knows, depends how long this takes. But there's a precedent for this, of having regional drug laws. This is what happened.
Like the States.
Yeah, exactly. Well, this is what happened right here.
Can you grow cannabis on Stewart Island?
Did it really? With alcohol as well?
Yeah, yeah. So we never had nationwide alcohol prohibition, but we had local ones. And the remnants of that to this day are the liquor licensing trusts, so places like West Auckland and Invercargill and things. And they had referendums every election. Right. And when you went, we want to go what they called wet or dry, we want to allow alcohol, then you stopped having referendums unless people petitioned for it.
Far out.
And if you stayed dry, they kept putting the referendum back to see, you know, do you want to keep it? And anyway, but the precedent's there. And then each local community is run by a trust. I mean, that's the model for that, but it doesn't necessarily have to be. But the precedent being, you can have these local rules. If you think back to party pills and psychoactives, they were based on local authorities as well, setting their own local
rules.
What
a time. What a time.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, it was a noble attempt on the wrong substance. And, it should have had cannabis in there, not these other things. But the precedent is there that you can do this. And given that we had certain places with very strong majorities of the urban centres of, you know, Auckland, Wellington, Christchurch, Dunedin.
What was strongest?
Wellington.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's make Wellington just the DAC capital of New Zealand and just go down there and just make it like North India and just put seeds everywhere and just let it go crazy. What about that?
I'm into that. We'll have to run that by Doc, I think.
About that?
But you know, so what you could do is have a national framework or a law that says, right, if you want to have a local referendum, gather some signatures or whatever, and then we'll put it to the vote, and then the next local body election or whatever, you do it, and then if you win, you do it, right? And that could be the way it goes. So, and it was also Northland, East Cape, and West Coast, so really classic spots. They get to have some good tourism, regional development, you know, there's actually a lot of bonuses for it. But you don't want to have this kind of postcode thing. If you're lucky to live there, you don't get busted. If you live somewhere else, you do. So that would have to be combined with the decrim we've been talking about, get that done properly, no one's being arrested anywhere. And then in these local places, people can vote for it if they want to.
Is this something that you will go and try and have conversations with the government about in the next wee while?
I think so, yeah. I think it's really got legs. I think it's actually a really good way to do it. And each local place can decide for themselves. And it's probably, like we said, it's all those kind of areas you kind of think, yeah, they'll vote for it.
We're sort of a long enough and big enough country almost to do that, and sparse enough almost. I can see that kind of working out. But fuck, that'd be rad. Someone's actually just texted in, pretty arbitrary question, but how can you test drugs at festivals when they are illegal? That's kind of the classic conundrum that we're sort of talking about, right?
Yeah, that is it. And so there's a few different issues there. One is, of course, the consumer is kind of outing themselves on the spot there and in front of people, perhaps. They're kind of handing it over, perhaps, and the tester might be handling it or not able to handle it for those reasons and directing the other person to perform the steps. And then once you know, well, okay, we've confirmed that is something legal, you know, can you let them leave and all these sorts. So there are, and it's actually only
but
one
it
line.
It has happened.
It's only
it
one
happening.
Line in the, totally. It's totally happening. Yeah. And that's great. The police have clearly, said or thought to themselves, there's no interest
made
there
the call.
In going around, you know, this is a health thing. But that message obviously hasn't got out to everyone in terms of really allowing it to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Grey area zone.
Mm.
Yeah. Right on, Chris. I think we covered quite a bit there. Thank you very much.
We did too.
Chris, I actually would like to revisit that last sort of regional topic next week. Maybe dig into that in a bit more depth, because that is a really interesting thought, and I think we should dig into it.
Right on.
Are you like? Is that like a pun for like putting the seed in once you've dug the thing?
Sow some seeds.
Okay, it's that time of year. I like
get
that. Out there.
That's good. Go on, everybody.
Do it, man.
That was Marijuana Media.
Thanks to The Hemp Store. Visit them at 253 K Road or shop online at hempstore.co.nz.